One day, every one of us, each one of us, not everyone in the sense that we're going to line up in a big old group, but each one of us will stand before our Savior Jesus Christ. It sounds sort of scary, but this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift. You believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. He died and rose again. We trust in him and we're saved and saved forever. And that's a gift. Cost us nothing. But when we talk about rewards, that's different than a gift. How we lived our life for Christ on this earth is rewards. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a brief look this morning at rewards as we look at this third part here about our relationship with Christ. As we think about Jesus, we think about the fact that we trust in him, we're born again, we're a new creation, we're to grow and all that. And we've already seen that we were dead, but now we're alive. We at the present tense, we're to know him, to grow, to be like him. But in the future, there's the aspect of rewards. Let's talk about rewards just for a second, okay? Rewards are often misunderstood. Sometimes you talk to people, and you talk to them about standing before Jesus Christ and being rewarded, and they have never heard of that. They've never heard that. They said, I've never heard of rewards. I've never heard anything like that. And so sometimes they've never heard of rewards. Second is sometimes people think salvation is the reward. They think, yeah, if you live a good life or you do the best you can or you hang in there, and then one day you'll get to go to heaven to be with Jesus, and that's your reward. The reward is salvation. Well, we know salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift. So the third thing is some people misunderstand about rewards. They think they're selfish. They say, oh, so you're telling me I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, and I do that so he can reward me. That sounds selfish. It's not selfish because he tells us to do it. We'll talk more about it in a minute. So sometimes they're misunderstood. People don't never heard of it. People think the salvation is the reward. Sometimes people even think that rewards are selfish. In fact, I had a person come up to me. It's been really within the last month. And they said, isn't it that if you said, live for Christ so you can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you can be rewarded, that you're telling me to serve him so I can get something. That's selfish. I said, no. You serve him so you can please your Savior. You can do what he's asked you to do. It's not a selfish thing. It's what you're supposed to do. So we're going to look at it. Here's the outline of what we're going to do in our study this morning. We'll have to go just pretty fast, but we're going to look at the contrast between salvation and rewards. We're going to look at the charge to gain rewards, and then we're going to look at the giving of rewards, and we're going to look at where do we get the rewards and what's the basis for rewards, and that fools a lot of people. So let's start with the contrast. Contrast between salvation and rewards. Many times people misunderstand this. Many people misunderstand the difference between a gift and something that is earned. Salvation cost us absolutely what? What does it cost us? Nothing. It's a gift. What did any of us in this room do so that we could get to be with Jesus Christ forever? We did absolutely nothing. It's not our works. It's not our righteousness. Our works are filthy rags. We don't have righteousness. Nothing adds up. But God, by his grace, through faith, we have been saved. It's the grace of God, and it cost us absolutely nothing. It's not a work. So it's the gift of eternal life. But when you think of rewards, rewards are earned. And it costs us because you have to do something to gain rewards. It's our service for Jesus Christ. It's how we live as a believer. So salvation is a gift, but rewards are earned. And we've talked about that because rewards go into the aspect of discipleship. You know, salvation is a gift. Discipleship costs us our lives. Salvation is a gift. The idea of rewards costs us as we serve and as we live for Jesus Christ. So I want to make this really clear because some people get confused. When we say rewards and stand before Jesus and all of this, this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift. You could believe in Jesus Christ and he give you eternal life and you never serve him. That has nothing to do with your salvation. That would be a horrible thing, that you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, and you never serve him in any way, shape, or form. That would be so rare, of course, but the idea is you got to understand your service has nothing to do with salvation. It doesn't. So first thing is the contrast between the salvation and rewards. The second is there's the charge to gain the rewards. Does God want us to have rewards? Does he want to reward us? Do we want to hear him say what? What do we want to hear him say? well done. So there's a charge. We want him. The answer is yes. God wants us to get rewards to live in such a way. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul encourages the Corinthians to live in such a way. I was talking to Debbie again right before the church, and we were talking about she had read 1 and 2 Corinthians, I guess, last night or maybe last week, and she had forgotten. Like she said, you know, it's amazing how bad they were. I mean, the letters, you read the 1 and 2 Corinthian letters, and he's basically getting on to them. He's answering their questions. He's telling them where they're off and all of those kind of things. But even in the midst of how they lived, he's telling them, gain the rewards, run the race. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may what? Win the prize. So when we think about rewards, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he actually says, go get the rewards. Go get the rewards. The idea, let me tell you, there's the idea from the Olympic Games. And this is where all this comes from, because we're going to see it in a minute. There's a bema seat, which is a rewarding stand, and a person would represent a city, represent a king, a city, because they were basically city-states in those days. And the guy would go run in the games, and if he won, he came back, and boy, was he honored in front of his city, in front of the king. And so the king might say, run so you can get a prize, because when you come back here, we're going to go, well done. Man, that's amazing. So the charge is to run the race that you get the prize. God wants us to get rewards. Look at this. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, run that you get the prize. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that your labor in the Lord may not be what? You might know? In vain. What do you mean in vain? That you didn't live for him, or when you didn't live for him, you're not going to get anything, so to speak. He's saying, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. In other words, when you serve him, what's going to happen? You're going to get something. And it's not selfish. It's what we should do. It's powerful. He says, run the race. So it's not going to be in vain. So let me put that back up. So bottom line, there will be rewards. So what we hope for all of us is that God says, I want you to run the race so you can get the prize. This has nothing to do with your salvation. This has nothing to do with when you stand before Christ that he would go, well, I guess you thought you made it, but you didn't. No, it has nothing to do with that. This has to do with rewards. So that takes us to the third area, and that's the giving of rewards. Now, you know, when people don't know about rewards and they've never understood it, when you start talking about giving of rewards, they're going, what are you talking about? And let's look at this. We're going to see two aspects. We're going to see the place of rewards and then the basis of rewards. And if you can, go ahead. You're in 1 Corinthians. Just flip over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's really a famous passage. And I want you to see it because we're going to look first at the place of rewards. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, I almost assume that everyone in this room knows Christ as Savior, and I hope I'm not wrong on that, because to have eternal life, you believe in Jesus Christ, you trust in him, that he will give you eternal life, that he's your Savior. It's a gift, it's not works. But so every one of us who know Christ as Savior, we are going to stand before our Savior at a place, and it's called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when you see the word judgment, and when I first became a believer and I started studying this, I saw judgment seat of Christ. When I think of judgment, I always thought of something bad. Judgment. Okay, get over here. I'm going to judge you and tell you what's wrong. But the word judgment is bema, B-E-M-A in the Greek, and it's a reward stand. That's what it really is. It's the rewarding stand of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds done in their body according to what we've done, whether good or bad. We're talking about a reward stand here. There's going to be a time that you will stand before Christ. It's as if in the days that this was written, the king of the city had a throne, had a bema seat, had a place that he would judge, and he would sit down. And here comes the conquering army, or here comes the great athlete, and they would bring them in and stand before the king, and the king would say, well done, I'm going to reward you. And in those days, if you won what they call the Isthmus Games, or what we'd call sometimes the Olympic Games, they actually knocked a hole in the wall of the city, made an arch, and named it after you, so that there was a new way to go into the city. They also, many times, you had never had to pay taxes again. And oftentimes, they had a statue of you. And this was all because you won the games, or whatever you did. And so it says, we're going to stand. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When is this going to happen? Most people believe that the very next event will be what? What's the next event in the time period in the plan of God? Anybody remember what's next? The rapture. It could come at any second. Jesus is going to come in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. The dead in Christ, there'll be a trumpet, a sound. The archangel Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. Dead in Christ rise first. We who are alive remain to be caught up together with them. It's called the rapture. We'll be taken off the face of the earth. Most people who study the Bible believe that after we, the church, are raptured, that's when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. That's when most people believe it. There's some other views. We're going to look at it in the book of Daniel and in some other places. There's this time period of 45 days after Jesus comes back to the earth as he sets up the kingdom. There's a time period of 45 days that he doesn't tell us anything about it. He says, blessed is the person who does this, and it's 45 days. And we go, what's those 45 days for? Some people believe that those 45 days is the time period in which people stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. I don't actually think it's going to be that way. Now, here's what I think. Now, what I think doesn't really matter because the scripture doesn't really tell us. But my opinion is not that we're going to be lined up like Benita is going to be. This is like a bunch of us here, and we're all in line, and we're saying, oh, boy, it's taking a long time with Benita. You know, and so we're in a line waiting to stand before Christ. I don't think it'll be that way at all, because he could judge us all at one time, right? When you stand before Christ, it's as if you're the only person that exists, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere when you stand before him. So I think I think you'll stand before him and you'll hear him say, Lord willing, you will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And it won't be like we've been in line for 2 hours waiting to get up to our place. I mean, I think it's just going to happen. So whether that happens the moment after you die, whether it happens the moment at the rapture, whether it happens sometime during the 7-year tribulation, whether it happens right before the kingdom, who knows? There is no information that tells us when the judgment seat of Christ will be. But what's so good about it, there is going to be a place. Our service for Jesus Christ, that's the Bema Seat, our service for God affects our future rewards. So how we live today, how we live now, how we live in the weeks to come, in the months to come, if we have weeks and months to come, we have no idea how long we got. We want to live for him, because how we live for him now deals with the rewards. Look at this. This is Romans 14:11. It says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, so then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about what? Rewards, our service. We're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, you did this, you did this, you served me, you did this, you were faithful here, you were faithful. And there are going to be things that you're going to be rewarded for you don't even know about. Let me tell you, you're going to lead somebody to Christ, and then they're going to lead somebody to Christ. And when you stand before Christ, he's going to say, this person, you say, I didn't know that person. Yeah, but you led this person to Christ, and they led that person to Christ. You had a part in that. And you go, really? Yeah. And by the way, your service for Christ does not end when you die. You understand that? You touch somebody's life, you die tomorrow, their life touches somebody's life, you're still going to be rewarded even years on down the road. Think of Prof. Hendricks. He's written all kinds of books. Did the books and the information there help us? Will he be rewarded for that? He's been dead. See, it doesn't end just because you die physically. So we want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We got just a few minutes, so here we go. Let's talk about the basis of rewards. What is the basis? 2 Corinthians 5:9. Look what he says. Therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, whether we're alive or dead, we want to be pleasing to him. The plan is that we would be pleasing, home or absent, in the body with the Lord. Our goal is to please him. if our goal is to please him and he tells you to get rewards, is it selfish to get rewards? No. Good gracious. We're just doing what he told us to do. And so look at this. I want you to see the basis. Look at verse 10. This is the one that we've seen. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one be recompensed for the deeds in the body, according to whether you've done whether good or bad. And the word bad means worthless. Let me show you something. Three aspects. There is a necessity. All of us are going to appear one at a time, most likely. Our purpose is the purpose is for rewards to be recompensed, and the evaluation is our deeds, whether worthy or worthless. And I'll talk about it here in just a second. Number one, we must all appear. Notice he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the rewarding stand. Each person will do that. In fact, the word bema, B-E-M-A, means rewarding stand. That's what it means. I don't think we'll go in groups. I don't think you can say, we did this. No, thank you for coming, but he's over here, you're over here. I think it's each one of us will give an account of our lives to God. It's scary in one sense. Let me say this. How many of you right now, if you were to stand before the Lord, you're saying, man, I'm ready to stand before him and give him an account? None of us. We all go, no, I need to be more faithful. I need to do this. I need to live, that's how we feel. So we're going to all appear. The second thing, the purpose is for rewards. Look what he says. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may be recompensed. That means given back. That actually means rewarded. We all are going to get rewarded. Think about this. Believers at the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat, the rewarding stand. So you're going to be rewarded. Listen, if you, as Jesus said, if a guy gave a cup of cold water in his name, you will in no way ever lose your what? Your reward. Listen, there's things you've done you may not even remember doing. There's things you've done you didn't even know you did, so to speak. You were just faithful, representing Jesus Christ. One day when you stand before him, you're going to go, really? Really? Wow. And let me tell you something. Serving him isn't being the guy that preaches on Sunday morning. I mean, that's just me. Every one of us have gifts, talents, abilities. Every one of us have different responsibilities. You serve him all over this world. It just doesn't happen right here. And don't think because I get to preach the Bible, something's better for me. It's not. I better be just as faithful to teach the Bible as you're just as faithful to use your spiritual gifts. And let me tell you, it doesn't all take place on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. It takes place every day, in and out, all over this place. That's where you can stand and live for Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be rewarded. And the third thing is the evaluation. It's based on works. That's our service. And look what he says, that we may be recompensed for the deeds in this body according to what he's done, whether good or... The word isn't bad, like I did something good, I did something sinful. We're not judging sins. Sins have already been dealt with. Where are they? Where are the sins? They're on Christ, they're placed as far as the east or the west. When you stand before Christ, it's not going to be your sins. It's going to be whether it's good or, and the word for bad there is actually the word for worthless. It means something like something's rotten. I had a banana one time. I put it up in a long time ago, long before I was married. I put a banana up in a little deal, and I kept going, what is that smell? And I finally opened that up, and there was this thing that used to be a banana, but it was worthless. And that's what he's talking about. And so how in the world, let me think about this. Our service for God, whether it's good or worthy, whether it's bad or whether it's worthless, whether it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit or whether it's done in the flesh or with the wrong motive. Let me tell you, I could go downtown and a little lady stand there and you help this little lady across the street and that could be a reward. Or I could help this little old lady across the street, which is not a sin, right? It's a good thing, right? But I could be saying, I hope people are watching me. Help this little old lady across the street. You know what? That's called worthless. It's worthless. What's your motive for serving? Why are you doing what you're doing? And this is not, we're not talking sins here. We're talking actions and deeds. And he says that each one may be recompensed, given back according to, in the body, what we've done in this life, whether we've done good or worthless. We want to hear him say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Time is up, so look at this. Number one, we are accountable to God. We're going to stand before him one day. We've been bought with a price. Are you living a life that you would be ready to stand before him? I know deep down we don't ever feel like we're ready, but I'm saying, is your life for Christ? You're accountable to him. Second, we should go after rewards. we should go after him because he told us to go after him. Not because we're selfish in any way. We want to run to get the prize because we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the third thing is, look, you're going to be rewarded. And the rewarded is not dealing with sin. It's not. It's dealing with whether it's good or worthless. And when we stand before him, we'll be ashamed at his coming. As 1 John chapter 2 says, you could be ashamed at his coming because we could all look at him and say, I didn't do anything, or I should have done a lot more. I don't know why I live for myself rather than living for the Lord. I mean, I don't know. We don't want to be ashamed at his coming. What do we want to hear? We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's some powerful stuff. So let's think about that.